Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
One worse than the other, but it just continues. Yanks have now lost 9 of 12 after their loss last night in Cincinnati, coughing up a late 3-run lead. And the Mets have now lost 10 of 11, also coughing up a 3-run lead, losing 5 straight to the Atlanta Braves.
Well, what I said to start the show is that when somebody shows you who they are, buy into it, take it, accept it, believe it. Because what the Mets and what the... And the Mets a little more than the Yankees, but the Yankees too, what they have shown us now, to me, is more applicable than the great starts. Like, there are holes that we've gone over chapter and verse. Think about this, guys. Like, all right, even great teams, even the 98 Yankees and the 86 Mets had a couple of games where they were lackluster. But if you think about the tone of this station, and specifically this show, when we talk about the Yankees and the Mets, we certainly appreciated all the wins early, and we were enjoying the good start. We knew we had a meaningful summer of baseball, which we appreciate. But anytime we got deep in the weeds on these teams, it was always, well, all right, do the Mets really have a catcher? Who's playing second? What about center? What about third? How much can he trust these pitchers that have been in the lab that are kind of reclamation project-ish, if you will? And those are a lot of questions, okay? And then you look at the Yankees, and it's like, well, here we go again. All right, they're a little different without Soto. Maybe the lineup's a little bit longer, but still an erosion of fundamentals, inability to win the extra inning game, get guys over, get guys in. There are enough problems for me to realize that both of these teams, without a move, are going nowhere.
Yeah, and I don't know if I need to change the expectations just yet, although it's impossible not to feel differently about the Mets after what you've seen here over the course of these last 11 games. But they're still just a game and a half back of the Phillies. If they win these next two games, still in decent shape. Even as far as, you know, recently as yesterday, I was still like, all right, go take 3 out of 4 from the Braves. Obviously, that cannot happen anymore. So that part of the thing has already crushed me. Like, I've been beaten down by this Mets team. I just don't trust them. They're going to have to go out there and prove it. But it's not like all is lost. They built up enough equity in this season to withstand a rut like this. I just worry about, you know, how many injuries at once can they withhold or withstand here, and are they be able to bounce back right away, which is something they're going to have to do. You can't fall further in the tank and really let the Braves right back into things. And then with the Yankees too, BT, we talk about it. They just have a game lead now over the Rays and 2.5 over the Blue Jays, who they'll play coming up. So both these teams still in a good spot when you look at the standings, but if you actually watch them play, there are concerns to different levels with maybe the infrastructure of the Yankees or just the way that they're built being a problem.
Yeah.
And with the Mets, just in general, not knowing if they're A, good enough, or B, certainly good enough to overcome some of the things that haven't gone their way with injuries to the lineup and the rotation.
I get that. Listen, anytime you get to this spot, the tendency would be to go probably a little bit further than we should in terms of criticisms or questions or concerns. I don't think I'm doing that right now because I've been on this train for a little bit here talking about the last, certainly four in certain nights, last five spots in the Mets batting order, the Yankees extra inning woes. You know, I get it. The answer very well might be somewhere in between, but that doesn't mean that I'm sitting on my behind and not doing anything about this. The Giants were proactive enough to engage the Red Sox. Now, well, maybe the Red Sox engaged them quite. Maybe they were so disgusted by Devers that that was their first call because they knew the Giants were trying to give money away for years, going back to Stanton, going back to Judge, etc. So maybe they thought that would be an easy trade, and it was. But this, to me now, should scream proactive mode. And I'm sure the Yankees weren't in on Devers, and I'm sure the Mets weren't. That can't happen because the next time somebody's available, we focus on Mullins and even Bregman. But just because there's guys who we think could be dealt, and in Mullins' case, certainly will be dealt. I don't know if the Bregman will myself. But there's got to be an element of creativity. Go and find something, and the Buxtons, we know the names, but go find somebody that is the difference maker. Don't just give me the same names, McMahon with the Rockies, third base. Go and do something ultra creative and go for it.
Which of these two teams' current losing streaks or ruts do you think is more real and less fixable?
More emblematic of really who they are?
Yeah.
The Mets.
See, I can make an argument for the Yankees, but it's on a different curve. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is who the Yankees are. But I feel like it's easier to fix that. They could try to go get a different bat and maybe help balance out the lineup a little bit, or just take your chance of the postseason. Whereas the Mets, even with getting guys back, even with making a big move like you're saying, I'm still not sure that that's enough yet. They have not proven to be a top team where it's just like, all right, it's losing 10 of 11, no big deal, it happens. I think that there's more legitimacy to it or more concern about it. I don't know how good this team is. They could go from being what was the best team in baseball for the majority of the year to being a team that might not make the postseason.
They didn't win 90 games a year ago. All right, so we all know they brought in Soto, but they lost Manaea. Manaea's not thrown a pitch yet. We talked about this before. I don't need to get into it again, but I'm not worried about the loose bodies flow. I don't think it's a big deal. I know it's 7 millimeters, whatever. I think he's going to be fine. A little 4 or 5 day respite, let the injection take hold. I think he'll be fine. But until he's fine, he's not fine. So it's not like this Mets team was a juggernaut a year ago. They were connected. They were resilient. They had character. And, you know, Alonso and Lindor elevated when they need to. But it was not on autopilot coming in. And now you strip away a Manaea so far. You strip away Iglesias, who was such a big part of the chemistry. It's a different team. It doesn't mean it can't be better. But right now, I don't think it's better. And it looks far more concerning than it did, I think, last year. At some of the worst points early, and to substantiate why I think the Mets is more real or more who they are than this Yankee, and I don't love it the way the Yankees look either, at least I know for now, Yankee starting pitcher, every night going to give him a chance to win. I don't feel like that with the Mets.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Devin is calling from Basking Ridge. What's up, Devin?
Hey, what's up? I was calling because I was trying to solve both of our problems. So, like, for the past 2 days, all I've been hearing is everybody complaining about Volpe, and you guys are just talking about trades. So, why don't we trade Volpe for an MLB-ready shortstop right now? Because at this point, we know what Volpe is. And I think it's time we can deal him and even package in a big player like Spencer Jones and, like, get to this win-now mode and get a shortstop right now.
Who? I mean, this sounds good. Who?
We could get Rockies Tovar. If you want to go less big, we could literally get IKF for really cheap.
Get the hell out of here, IKF. IKF?
Yes, I can. I can't spend $300. He's way better than Volpe.
Okay. Well, listen, you could have IKF. I'm good. Honestly, I'm good. IKF for Volpe?
Come on.
I mean, not in a trade.
No, and Spencer Jones. He wants to throw it. That's what he said.
Hey, listen, get me Van Slyke for another outfield spot. Get me Bonds and get me Doug Drabeck, and you got to deal with the Pirates, right? I just want to make sure. IKF, Pirates, give me those three guys. I'll make the trade. Bill Madlock to play third base.
I don't even like the idea that IKF's name is out there to begin with.
That I don't mind. I think he's a great backup. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Well, remember, the Yankees sold us that he was a shortstop. How'd that go?
Not well. Yeah. That's why he's gone.
The same organization that was supposed to trust with all these other moves, like they told us Gleyber Torres was a shortstop. Wrong. I don't care what analytics you're looking at, what system you got going. Wrong. IKF, shortstop. I told you in 2 seconds. And now I just trusted him. Oh, IKF. Okay, let's see what the guy's got. I watched him play for one game. Like, this guy isn't a good shortstop. That's me, little old me. What do I know about these? But all their high-priced analytics and scouting said that IKF was a shortstop. Wrong. So I don't want anything to do with IKF. I know what you're saying, BT, and as a role player or put him in third base. Like, is he better than LeMahieu? I guess, but we've been down that road before. Can't we do a little bit better than bringing back IKF?
That would be nice, but here's where Here's where IKF, where he brings value, right? He gets up in an extra inning game, he's getting the guy over. He's getting the bunt down. He's hitting behind the runner at first base. Again, you talk about playing twice a week. Yeah. And no, he's not a shortstop, but he could play a little second, play a little third. Now, that can't be the move. Let me just break news. That's not the move that I'm talking about that they need to make in terms of this big trade that I think both teams need to make. But as a reinforcement, dude, he's a 270 hitter. He's scrappy. He's a great team guy. He can bunt. He can move a little bit. He can play multiple spots. You could do a lot worse if he's your 23rd guy on the roster. I actually like him, just not as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, we've been down that road before. And yeah, let alone now we've jumped the shark with the criticism of Volpe to a point where callers or a caller is going to prefer IKF at short over Anthony Volpe. Come on now. What are we doing? Like, as much as I'm down IKF. On Volpe, I had high expectations for him. There's a big difference between that and wanting IKF instead of Anthony Volpe.
What's Didi doing these days? Get him on the horn.
I mean, I'd rather bring have him than IKF. Jeez.
Bobby Meacham, get him on a treadmill. We'll work him back into shape. Let's go.
Andrew's
Alvin
call.
Robertson.
Andrew's call from Eastchester. What's up, Andrew?
Bucky.
Yeah, I don't know if that was IKF's brother or his cousin on the phone trying to pump him up, but yeah, million other choices before IKF. And speaking of choices, if tots are on the menu, 10 times out of 10, it's tots. Then sweet potato fries, then you go into whatever else.
I'm a big sweet potato fry guy.
I hate sweet potatoes. Really? Everything. I hate yams on Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, thank good. You. I'm with you, Andrew. Sweet Gross. Potato fries are underrated.
100%. Real simple. Who do we think makes the deadline move first? Is it Cash or is it Shields? Or
I think it's gonna be Cashman. I think
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's going to be Cashman. I don't think it'll be the big move that I want, that I think they'll eventually make as well. But Cashman likes to trade. He's just used to it. It's part of what he does.
I actually think it's going to be Stearns because he has to. Like, he's got to do something now. There are moves that teams can make in season. Doesn't have to be the big one. The Mets cannot wait till the trade deadline to upgrade this ball club right now. They're dying here. We're watching them die right in front of our eyes every night. They can't win. Something's got to change. I feel like, yeah, Adrian. He can't win. He can't win. Something's got to change. So I'm not saying go out there and get the biggest, baddest bat right now. Or go
why not?
The best. Well, I mean, those.
I know you're not saying that, but like, why not?
Because those moves, you have to be realistic too. Those moves are harder to make now.
Yeah.
Maybe those teams don't want to trade those guys now unless it's a boatload. You're going to have to overpay, so I wouldn't recommend doing that. But you're telling me you couldn't find somebody off some other team's scrap heap to take on some money to upgrade your ball club in the short term? Really, they should have did this days ago to have them better loaded to take on the Braves and just bury them. But they didn't do that. Stearns, they've got to make a move. They can't be sitting on their hands waiting for the trade deadline a month from now.
Silver lining for both fan bases. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're going to play this poorly and look this broken, I don't know that there's a better time to do it than now. Because if you do it at the start of the season, it could unravel so fast and it could just implode where you can't respond and you can't return to normalcy. So that's good. By starting well, as both did, you build a cushion to deal with this. You also build an expectation early from a morale perspective in the fan base and in the front office. Like, all right, this is what we envisioned. We're a World Series contender. And then you get jolted now, okay, where it still stings, but it's early enough to recover. I think this is, if used properly, an actual tool and an asset for both GMs.
Right.
Because if it was too late, like in September, well, you can't do anything about it. Trade deadline's passed. If it's too early, you might be dead for the season. You might not recover. Perfect time. If you're gonna fall apart, there's never a good time. This is the best time, though.
Tony's in Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I love the show. I can't disagree with a word you said. I have two questions. Number one, why are we happy that Stanton is back? And number two, we've touted Volpe, Dominguez, Arquette. Those are three useless guys. Nobody
they're
even
not
mentioned.
Useless, Tony. Come on, they're not useless. To be fair, let's not go nuts.
No, but they've all underperformed.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but they're not useless.
Useless is too strong.
We never heard of Ben Rice, and Ben Rice has probably been one of the better, you know, people brought up from the minors.
Yeah, a little streaky, though. He's hitting 240. Let's not lose sight of that. But I like him.
But he's had a bigger impact than the other three. Now, the issue is he doesn't play a position. So
Well, Austin Wells, when he went, and Tony, I know you remember this, Sal, when you and I talked about this. I know he strikes out too much, average too low. I got you. But when they put him in the four hole last year behind Judge, that's when the Yankees took off. Austin Wells. Tone.
Well, and you see five out of the eight players in the lineup, nobody does anything. How can you win a game?
They usually win 90-something. I get you. It's not perfect, but and that's the dilemma with the Yankees. And quite frankly, that's why there's been no real urgency to change anything in the front office.
Bless you.
I knew I felt that coming on mid-sneeze or mid-conversation. So the allergies kill me today. The front office is able to kind of remain, all right, we're good, a little tweak here, a little tighten up the wrench, give me the Phillips. We don't need to overhaul. We could tweak because we're 94, 95, 96 wins, and we are usually really good.
And think about it. The year that they came off, the rare year where they missed the postseason in 2023.
Judge was hurt.
Yeah, well, and they had some other issues too, but then they go out there and get Juan Soto.
Yep.
So in their mind, they're thinking, okay, well, we got bad luck with a lot of the injuries. Now we just went out and got Juan Soto, and you saw what happened. So now they're coming off a World Series appearance, and they think that they did enough, and they're going to ride this out. I tend to agree with the caller more so than not. I thought he was a little harsh, obviously, saying useless and nobody does anything. And I'm with you as far as Austin Wells goes. That was last year.
Yeah.
I don't know why Boone was so quick to get away from Wells being the leadoff hitter this year. I feel like he didn't give him a good run. Like, the lineups are they're constantly changing too often. Just keep at least some guys together. Imagine going to the ballpark every day. And again, like, we're not putting ourselves in ballplayers' shoes, big league ballplayers, but like, you want to know where you're hitting in the lineup. I think that's a normal thing to have some idea of where you're at. These guys fluctuate so much. Even Aaron Judge is not even like, hey, let's pencil him in at number three or number two and have everybody else around him.
Mm-hmm.
The constant fluctuation with the lineup is driving me up a freaking wall. And the reason why they do that is not just because of matchup space, because also they're not getting the consistent production from the guys that they'd hoped. But I did think with Wells, they got away from that way too early. This year.
Yeah, yeah. No, I probably agree with that. But this is where I go back to, Aaron Boone's got a tougher job than certainly Joe Torre in many regards, right? Now, the thing with Torre is if he didn't win the World Series, like something like that was, it was a different measurement. Whereas with Boone, we were just pumped that they got there, and now we eventually like to see them take the next step. But if you're Joe Torre going to the office every day, all right, what do we got? You know, we got Jeter 1 or we got Soriano 1, we got Jeter 2, we got Nobby 1, we got Jeter 2.
The same thing, yeah.
And then boom, you know, Neil, Bernie, Tino, like it's just different. The reason why there's so many variations in the lineup is because they don't have a true leadoff hitter and they don't have a true number 4 because Stanton's unreliable, can't run, and he's always hurt, even though he steps up in October. But I also think perspective is necessary, maybe less with Dominguez, who hasn't really shown me a ton yet. I'm kind of with you on that. We've talked about Volpe a lot, and we've kind of glossed over Wells. If we were sitting here, say, 2 winters ago, or even 3, or 5, or 10, whatever, and we said, hey, by the way, next season, meaning the season that, the theoretical season that I'm referencing, the Yankees are going to have a 25-year-old catcher, a lefty, who has 23 home runs and 90 RBIs. That is his exact pace right now.
But that should show you that the numbers don't mean as much as everybody likes to think.
But says who? 23, you're still driving in 90 people.
Because we're watching.
Are we the sheriffs of when the RBIs matter and when they don't? You drive, I can tell you this, Al. Now, A-Rod would pile on with the late 3-run bomb
a lot. And
the
Yankees have done that, though. You said it yourself, and I agree. They're a bully offense.
No, they are. But I would like to see...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
And I'm not doubting it, but I would like to see the discrepancy, like, okay, high leverage or even medium leverage, because high leverage is too small sample. But like let's say he does finish with 90 RBIs. That's exactly what I'm looking at it now. Projection 23 and 90. Well, of the 90, at the end of the year, somebody come up and say, well, 60 were when they didn't matter and 30 were when they did. Well, then I would say, okay, but nobody's really provided me with that evidence. Now the eye test, back to the bully ball point, tells me that they jump on average pitching, they destroy you, they obliterate you, and that's generally when they really get the numbers going. But I wouldn't mind to see some data to back that up.
Yeah, they're just not impacting the games. I liked Austin Wells a year ago, like you said, protecting Aaron Judge. I'd like to see there was some consistency within that lineup. He did it again.
I told you it was 65%, and that was being generous.
I have a good source.
Again, there's no way.
A good source who came to me and said, did he come clean? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, did he come clean? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I told Hoff he could either come clean or we're going to expose him.
Okay.
And Hoff did not come clean, so I got the information here.
And now we expose him.
Hoff, you want to explain yourself? So for those of you who missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I asked Hoff, BT and I did before the show, to let us know how many teams had lost 10 of 11. Because there's a difference between a rough patch throughout the course of a long season and
four
losing
10. Five of seven.
Even 9 of 12. Like, whatever. Not a, 10 of 11. How many teams have lost 10 of 11 games and made it to or won a World Series? And Hoff, your answer was?
None.
And since we have learned that there are?
There's at least one.
There's at least two.
Two?
Yeah, the research is continuing, I guess, here.
What?
Two teams. The 2000.
He's got too much time on his hands.
You know who told me?
It has to be Evan. Evan is diving into this nonsense at this point. I already forgot we had this discussion. This guy's hanging on to numbers that don't even impact his show.
Tell me about it. I see him in the hallway. He's like, hey, come clean. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Come clean. The 2005 Astros and the 2006 Cardinals, as Ev continues to look this up, have at least debunked Hoff's theory. There.
You know, or info. Even worse, like the 2006 Cardinals should be centrally on your brain as a Mets fan.
I'm not looking at their record. I don't look at their regular season.
I just want to know.
Familiar with them.
I just want to know what's your process when coming up with this false information? Like,
can I give it to you first?
Yeah.
He takes a dart and he throws it and he hopes it lands on somewhere accurate.
No, I don't think that's it.
What is your process?
I think he goes to
looked
Google.
Up the question. I had a question. And the response from this AI Gemini nonsense crap or whatever it is said, to our knowledge, there hasn't been. They go back to a team from like 1914, but made no sense with what the information they were giving. But I couldn't. They did not have an answer. And supposedly that's the smartest thing in the world.
All right.
AI.
Yeah. Well, it's not obviously. Clearly. So you got to figure out a different way. All right. The bad news is he did it again. Hoff screwed us. So furthering or limiting our trust in what he says as far as the information goes. The good news is, hey. Anything's possible, I guess. You could lose 10 out of 11, still make the World Series.
I'm just still laughing at just how cursory of a search this was, right? So I just typed in the same thing. And my exact phrase was, has a Major League Baseball team ever lost 10 of 11 and still won the World Series? I didn't even write, to the World. Just too convoluted. No, there is no record of an MLB team losing 10 of 11 and subsequently winning the World Series. Blah, blah, a little bit more. And he must have read that. He's like, all right, there you go. We're good.
There you go.
Right. So Evan was like, there's no way that that's true.
Yeah.
And he actually probably went, he might have gone through every season.
He went back to 1977.
And started from 77
on.
Yeah.
He told me, he's like, I looked at the 1977 team, but they didn't lose 10.
Oh, right. So I guess the way to do it.
The 77 Yankees or the 77 season?
No,
that's a random year.
No, the
year
77
to start.
The
two teams. The two teams that were in the World Series, I'm sure.
It's Yankees Dodgers. Why would the 77 team jump out there?
I have no idea, but that's what
he
went
to. Can he text us the answer?
I'm sure he can.
It's a random season.
Either way, he just picked the two teams in the World Series probably every year since 77 and went through their history and said, okay, they lost 10 of 11 or whatever, or they didn't. You know what I mean? You could just go, that's going to take some time.
Yeah, he wasn't born in 77, so it's not that.
No. All right.
If I'm doing that, I'd start at 70 or 80 or 85 or 90, like an incremental,
what made
five denominations or
10,
choose. 77.
What made him randomly choose? Anyway, either way, Hoff, you screwed us again. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019.
Hang on a sec there, Sal. You got a little something for you here. Meat of the order for the Yankees, and hopefully you guys aren't hungry. As I said yesterday, the meat of the order is surfing up some crumbs lately here for the Bombers. They didn't do a whole lot. Obviously, Aaron Judge is having a phenomenal season here. But the Yankees last night, they jumped out to a 3-0 lead, couldn't get the job done. And it's not just the meat of the order. It's really the entire order. And until that gets resolved here, get a little more balance, the Yankees are going to be a bit more erratic than we would like. So, when you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head. Committed to craft since 1905.
Frank is calling from Monroe. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, BT, this call is for you.
Okay.
I am a 64-year-old Yankee fan, and that guy Tony that just called kind of stole my thunder.
Okay.
You know who Volpe is? Volpe is Bucky Dent.
Okay, I'm going to let you go a little bit. Go ahead.
Listen. He's a serviceable shortstop. This .230 batting average thing doesn't sit well with me. I'm at the get-off-my-lawn stage of my life.
I got you. Yeah.
And, And the other thing is Austin Wells. What do we see in him? Like that make, like the other day Ben Rice was behind the plate.
Yeah.
Let that kid play every day.
Well, yeah, God. I like Ben Rice. Okay. And this is part of the issue. And honestly, my partner brought this up first. There's just too much to put out the best lineup. There's not enough versatility defensively. Now, this, and thanks for the call, buddy, but this is where people go nuts. Now, I remember Bucky Dent probably more as the Yankee manager than as the player, than the shortstop. Just to get a little factual input here, Bucky Dent averaged 3.1 home runs per season and 1.2 stolen bases per season. I mean, and he never won a gold glove, to my knowledge, unless he won it with the White Sox. No, never won a gold glove. So I know it's easy to bury Volpe and jump on Volpe and give up on Volpe, and I'm never doing that, and I won't do that. But I will certainly point out that he's not what I thought he would be yet. But now, let's not reduce him to a slap-hitting scrub. I mean, come on, guys.
There's a big difference from him being a potential all-star and top shortstop in the game to exactly what you're saying, a slap-hitting scrub. He is not, in fact, that, but he's been disappointing. And I think the bigger point where he's like, oh, I want Ben Rice to play every day. Yeah, well, where? He's not a catcher. You're not going to have Ben Rice catch the majority of the time.
Are you sure about that?
Could you get him again?
I wouldn't mind finding out.
Well, then why was he not billed when he came up here as a catcher?
He was at he was a catcher at Dartmouth, okay. and his season got wiped out because of COVID. Okay. And I don't really know what happened in the minor. Maybe he didn't frame the ball well enough.
But my point is, there's a reason why you came up. He's not going to. I don't want to have a guy learning to catch again at the big league level. These things should be taking care of themselves in the minor leagues before you get up here. When Ben Rice came up here, he came up as a first base / DH. And he's been an impact offensive bat. The same way I'm saying Dominguez, Volpe, Wells have not done that enough this year. Rice has been an impact bat.
He is.
He's been that. Now, I'm not saying he's been that every single game, but okay, mm-hmm. He's not a superstar just yet. But when he's on, he is a high impact bat. I want him hitting second in that order. Problem is, where are you playing him? You're going to play him at first base instead of Goldschmidt? I mean, that's a possibility.
No, not now. Next year, Mike. Not now.
Okay,
no.
And you're going to play him at DH in front of Stanton?
I might against righties. Okay. I might here and there. I don't want to run Stanton out there every day. Maybe here and there.
There's got to be a way to get him in the lineup more often than not, but it's going to be at the expense of either Goldschmidt or Stanton, or if you want to go the catching route, then Austin Wells.
Well, I think, and I'm looking at it now, he was at Dartmouth, COVID, didn't get to catch at all. That season was wiped out. So when he goes into the Yankees minor league system, he caught 15 games. And that's what we played. Played catcher exclusively with the Tampa Tarpons, and then with the Florida. It doesn't matter. The lower levels of the minors. He played one game. The rookie caught it. Then again in Tampa, which is high A, 37 games as a catcher, and they played 15 games as well that year. But then the next year with Somerset Double A, he caught all 24 games. I know those are a lot of numbers. I think the reason he went to first because of Rizzo's concussion. I really think it coincided with that. They just needed a Band-Aid at first base.
Right, but here's the other problem. If he is, in fact, a catcher, now they have two catchers. It still doesn't solve the issue. Do you want Austin Wells out of the lineup?
No, okay. I definitely don't want that.
Okay, so then how are you getting Ben Rice regular at bats? Their best lineup would be with Wells in it, would be with Rice
and
in
Rice.
It. Okay.
I agree. This goes back to what we always say. Poorly built.
Correct.
Not Boone's fault.
And a big part of that is Giancarlo Stanton. If you had the flexibility of the DH spot, then you could say, I'll play Rice at first a couple of games a week.
Mm-hmm.
Give Goldie the days off, whatever, even have him DH, whatever you want to do. I'll play Rice at catcher one game a week, and I get him at DH the rest. Now you have this bat in the lineup, and you're keeping him fresh, catcher, first base, whatever it may be, or even just one or the other. But because there's a roadblock at DH, Stanton cannot play anywhere else.
No, I don't even think they're going to try this year. They've got to know that by now.
So it's either Stanton's the DH or Stanton's out of the lineup.
Now, short term, it's a lot of things to juggle. And we're talking about short term because we're talking about the 2025 Yankees. I will say that this issue is going to go away sooner than maybe some people think. Goldschmidt is gone. Unless they give him another year.
And Rice, first baseman in the future.
Rice goes to first base. Now, he might be. I'm not saying for sure. Yeah. I'm not going to anoint him, the next Teixeira or Tino, right-handed friend. But he'll get a look there. And if he catches, maybe it's a thing where you want to keep both bats in the lineup. Maybe you'll let Wells play a little bit of first base. Rice gets some work behind the plate, and then Rice played a little first base, and Wells back behind the dish. I don't know, but Goldschmidt's not going to be here forever. Neither is Stanton, so it's going to change soon, just not soon enough.
Also, and this is the bigger issue, the reliance on those young guys and just penciling them in as if they are givens is not the right way to approach things here. It has not worked for the Yankees.
Yeah.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
Like, all these guys over year after year after year, same thing. Gary Sanchez, Clint Frazier, Andujar, Gleyber Torres. Like, we've seen the same thing. So I'm not saying you can't have, you have to have some young players and rely on some young players to a certain extent. Can't have three or four of them every year and just be like, well, Rice all of a sudden, he's accomplished nothing at the big league level yet. Nothing. So we're going to just pencil him in and say he's the first baseman. And, you know, we're waiting for Austin Wells to take that next step, waiting for Dominguez and Volpe to take that next step.
Yeah.
Spencer Jones a year ago, oh, he'll come in and be an impact bat. Like, you keep relying on these young guys and they're not producing or fulfilling the expectation.
That's why it was easy. I'll put quotes around that because he started to perform and he did, but, and there was different pressure because George was still alive and George was still at his, you know, nutty apex. But that's why it was a little bit easier for Derek in the sense that when he comes up, all right, you got Tino, you got Tim Raines. Yeah, you got Raines. Not only the outlier as a player,
no,
who obviously did well.
Meaning the young player. You have one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got Girardi was the catcher on that championship team, not Posada. Obviously, Bernie came up in, I think, 91 or so, 90. So Bernie was 5 or 6 years in. O'Neill was a veteran. Tim Raines, Louis Soho. Like, you had guys around the diamond. And then, obviously, 96, you had Wade Boggs. You had Charlie Hayes. So he can – but to your point, it wasn't 4 or 5 guys trying to find their way at once. Time to circle back. We'll get back to these Yankee and Met issues, and there's a whole hell of a lot of them. That's obviously the story of the day here on BT and Sal. However, just to lighten the load for a second, because I wrote these down, I got to revisit. You ready?
Yeah.
Some over-unders.
Okay, you have yours?
I got mine.
Let me get mine hit while you do that. Go ahead.
Okay. So for those of you who are new to the show, we basically pick 5 items going into the year. Obviously, just about the Yanks and the Mets. It could be, you know, it's player-driven, team-driven, statistically-driven. And then we'll determine, based on the criteria, we go over, under, and then whoever gets the most right wins. Now, I narrowly beat Sal last year, and I still haven't had him collect on the bet. I need to pay off the bet. I need to do that. But yeah. These are my 5. You ready?
Yep.
And it's funny. I looked at these. I wrote these down 2 weeks ago. We were going to go back to. We just got too busy with the Knicks and some baseball stuff. And it's changed a lot in certain aspects, not as favorably for me. So, Pete Alonso, over 35.5 home runs. He's got 18. He is exactly on pace to beat that by a half a bomb.
Yeah,
he's
today,
on pace for 36.
Today will be their 81st game, so yeah. The official midway point of the year.
I didn't realize that, but yeah, the numbers
so
add
you
up.
So you have over 35.5?
Pete, over 35.5, so stop flailing away on those sliders, big boy.
That's start getting back.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, what else?
Volpe. Over 297 on base percentage. When I wrote this down, I had to cross it out 2 weeks ago because I knew we were going back to it. He was at 324. He's down to 306. It's tight.
You know, that is low.
I know
that
it
number
is.
Number not low?
Yeah, yes,
it's a good
it's
over
low.
By you on that one.
He'll get
now,
there.
Now, where did we come up with that number? Did you just make that up?
No, there were some books that we took. We went to some accounts. All right, this one is a layup. Unfortunately, he's hurt. Under Vientos RBI, and even if he didn't get hurt, he wasn't really playing well, it still would have been very tight, I think. Vientos, 87.5 RBIs. I took the under. He's got 21. Should be in good shape as long as he stays healthy. With this next one, I should be. Vientos. No, that's a win. Touch the cup, whatever. Yeah. I'm winning that one. Max Fried, over 151 Ks. He's on pace for 199.
So you're going to blow that one away.
So when I looked at these 4, remember, Pete was rocking. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm 4 for 4. The last one, I'm
so far, you're kind of 2 for 2, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, Pete's a coin flip.
Pete's a coin. You get 2 in the book, 2 in the bag already.
I would agree with that. And then I feel good about Volpe over 297. Pete's gonna be tough.
Both those might be close, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Now, last week, when I was 2 weeks ago, when I was looking at this, I'm like, oh, man, I think I miscalculated this one, but this one's kind of gone back the other way favorably. I picked the Mets under 90.5.
Right.
When I looked at this 2 weeks ago, they were projected to win 95.1 games. Right now, when I looked at multiple spots, including the projection that I referenced earlier with you, They're at 90 to 91 in multiple spots, and the over-under is 90.5, and I took the under.
Okay, and then what do you have? Is that the last one?
Those are five. So it's not inconceivable. I'm going to have to get a little lucky here, but I have a shot to go 5 for 5.
All right, help me out with some of mine here.
All right, got you.
Wells, this should be a layup, over 17.5.
Oh, he's already got 13. If you're good, that's a win.
He's got how many right
now? I think 13.
Okay, so that should be a win. Lindor.
Yeah.
Over steals and homers.
Oh, so you did a little bang bang.
A little bang bang, yes.
A little bang bang. I did that with Volpe last year and I came up woefully short. He has 16 home runs, 13 steals. That's 29. What's the number?
53. So I should
Yeah, he's
be good.
In good shape.
Halfway point. Not a gimme yet.
Not a gimme, but he's in healthy. Good shape.
Okay. Then I have two team overs. Mets over 90.5, so we're directly head to head on that one.
Flip a coin.
Yankees over 88.5.
All right, you're in good shape there.
I mean, I think.
You're in good shape. It's just low. They're not going to win 87 games.
Remember how far down it came, though,
yes, we
right?
do. We were both like, wow.
And then the last one, Soto OPS.
What'd you say, 940, 950?
945.
It's going to be under.
He's up to 876 right now.
It's going
to
be under.
I don't know, man. He's working his way up. He has another couple of months like he's had in June. He was leading the league in OPS going in yesterday, I think, with 1,200, something like that. So, all right, but Soto is still up for grabs. I got a bunch of mine up for grabs.
The win totals both kind of up for grabs.
Right.
To an extent.
Yank should be a win. Yeah. Wells should be a win. Lindor should be a win. That should be three. The Mets and then Soto, of course.
I honestly feel good where I'm sitting right now.
You think you're going to get how many?
Well, I said I could go 5 for 5. I don't think that I will.
Might come down to the Mets head to head.
It might. I think that I feel pretty good. If I had to put down money right now, I'd say I'm going to go 4 out of 5. Pete's going to hit more than 35.5 home runs. Volpe's going to have an OPS over 297. Viento's going to be under 87.5 RBIs. Max Fried is going to blow by 151 whiffs. So I don't want to say I have 4 locks, but I have a couple of locks, and 4 out of 4 seems very plausible. It's going to come down to the Mets under, I said under, 90.5, and if that happens, 5 for 5.
BT and Sal, all the Fed, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Mark is in Oceanside. What's up, Mark?
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good, Mark.
What's up?
Okay. First, one for each of you. Sal, for years, the Mets have not had a center fielder or a DH. I am so tired of the Juan Lagares, Harrison Bader, Tyrod Taylor, who I love as a fourth outfielder, as center fielders. And I'm so tired of the Daniel Vogelbach, Darren Roof, who's a DH now, Marte, Jared Young. These two positions never get filled. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I can't debate that, Mark. It's driving me crazy as well. Center field not as bad as the DH spot because they have been inept at the DH spot, which shouldn't be that difficult. Even Winker, who's okay. Like, think about the DHs in the history of the sport. And then all of a sudden, the DH gets adopted in the National League, and the Mets are going over the guys that you just mentioned. So, like, the DH is infuriating to me. Center fielders are hard to find. Shouldn't be that hard to find a DH.
But, Mark, before you hit me with your thing, the reason, and listen, the Mets DH has been, it's just been inadequate over the years. But I think there's been a real trend, and I don't think the Mets are the only team that are struggling here. You know, when we were, well, not growing up, but like years ago, like the DH was a spot where a stud went to just finish up his career. And now teams have gotten a little more cost effective, and they roll the dice more with younger guys. So, you know, that aging, you know, whether it's Edgar Martinez or, you know, guy Cecil.
How about John Carl Stanton? I mean,
Stanton's one of them. Like, there's just, that profile's changed a bit. So, not to excuse the Mets, but a little context. What do you got for me?
All I wanted was a guy who has 20 to 22 homers, 80 RBIs, a bat. I'm not asking for a star. A bat at the age, not a body.
I got you. I hear you. Okay.
And for you, you were talking about great movies the other day for men. You missed a couple.
Okay, well, one obviously.
One is The French Connection.
Okay.
And the other one is The Great Escape. Those two movies are absolutely
I haven't seen either one.
I don't think I've seen either one either, Mark. What years did they come out?
French Connection was about 1971, 72, right before I think Rocky came out. It's with Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider.
I've heard of it. Wow. Yeah, that's a dude from Jaws, right? I mean, I've heard of both those movies.
Me too.
I have not seen them. I guess we get to a point. I've been giving this a lot of thought, not just with the movies, but even music, right? Because every year, new music, new movies come out every single year. So we now have, the older you get, I'm 45. You're what, 51?
51.
Okay. So the older you get, the more...
catching up you have to do.
Well, the more you have that you reference, like, okay, even if you start in the 80s, like we both started watching movies in the 80s, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Now we love watching those movies. Or in the 90s or 2000s, there are certain songs or movies that we want to go back and watch or go back and listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But then that doesn't leave room for the new stuff. Or if you do open up to the new stuff, now you're lessening the room that you have to go back and watch the old stuff that you love. So now when Mark calls with two great recommendations from the 70s,
yeah,
it's hard to justify getting that in at this particular point because there's too much else, the stuff that we grew up loving and maybe some of the new stuff that we want to consume.
Yeah, I mean, that's I hear you. There is, I feel like, you know, as we do reference the 80s, but they had some gritty movies in the 70s, man. And a bunch I didn't see. But, like, did you ever see Escape from Alcatraz?
No.
Or you didn't see that?
No.
Hop, you had to see that, right? With Clint Eastwood? Escape from Alcatraz?
No.
Wow.
So Changing or Trouble with the Curve?
Yes. Clint Eastwood? Well, he was the scout who couldn't see. Right, and he used his ears to gauge the velo from the pitcher by the pop and the catcher's mitt. What was the love interest? What was her name?
Amy, not the love interest.
Not his love interest. Yeah, his daughter, actually.
Amy, what the hell is her name?
Reddish hair.
Yeah, Amy Adams, right?
There you go. That was a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, not bad. Anyway, point is, I guess, do you listen to new music?
Ah, okay, so we started this District All-Star Tour. Yeah, we were talking about it off the air. Right? We don't need to get into that now. But all the kids have walk-up music, which is awesome, right?
All new songs?
No. A couple of the kids went with, now I'm sure dad's influence too. Little AC/DC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Thunderstruck, a little GNR. And, you know, my son happens to have a bit of an old soul, but, you know, with the Rocky music or Rocky movies or Star Wars. Like, I've introduced some stuff. So I was kind of hoping he would go with, you know, one that I figured I taught him well enough. Like, he's going to go with one that, you know, he went with, like, I think it's Hero. I think it's Aaron Judge's walk-up song.
Okay.
I'm the king of the York. Like, it's got a little rap element to it, I guess. And I'm saying to myself, I wouldn't have picked that, you know?
Yeah. All right. But
so, point being, I don't listen to new music. The reason I love music is because when I hear a song, it brings me back to a point in my life. And I'm sentimental in that regard. And I know all the words. And I generally think that there's a better message in the music from when we were growing up than today. Now, that's obviously my perspective. Some of you young guys are going to disagree. I respect that. But I feel it's a little more pure, just a little bit of a different message, which I appreciate.
I don't
listen to new music. I can't. I have time for it.
I'm not opposed to it. But I guess my point is, if I did listen to new music and take that in, now I'm taking away from the music that I love for the last, let's say, 3-4 decades, there's just not enough. We can only consume so much.
I know.
So it's harder. I'm assuming Mark is older and referencing the movies from the 70s. I'm just guessing.
You know,
probably
a smart guess.
So then that's his wheelhouse and great movies, which I'm not denying. They're probably great movies, but I don't think I could take any more on at this particular point.
But then I will say there's the occasion, whether it was, she's no longer really on the Taylor Swift kick, but, you know, Taylor, my daughter, who's 8, would come out with, like, she loved her last year and the year before. And there were times I was, like, for a good minute, we'd get in the car, and all right, Dad, can you and Daddy, can, you know, we're going to play softball, soccer, let's get Taylor on. And I would love it. And, like, a few other songs that I hear that I actually do like that I don't know the name of, and I'm like, oh, it's a catchy beat. But I just always go back to the old stuff. I'm not saying there's no good music. I just don't have the bandwidth to incorporate it. That's the bottom line.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.